Friends, I'm turning tonight to Psalm 119, and I'll read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are they, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, and that seek him with the whole heart. And friends, tonight our subject is reward of Christian integrity. Rewards of Christian integrity. And integrity is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls us for. He wants us to be a people of integrity. Integrity is to be true to our word. When we say integrity, it's to be true to our word. And that is to be a testimony of our faith in Christ. As a Christian, you must have integrity because we represent Christ and he is our example. He is the one that we are going to be like. And as we read and know later on, he was a man of integrity. So we need to have integrity. And if you want to learn about Christian integrity, there's no other place to learn it from than Psalm 119, as we are going to see later on. About Christian integrity and about how to follow God, then Psalm 119 is the best place to read. As we all know, it's the longest psalm in the whole Bible, about 176 verses. And every verse, every ninth verse starts with the one letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So we see how this psalm is. We are going to learn more as we go on. So this integrity that we are talking about, it is not something that happens overnight, like salvation. As we said in the morning, salvation is an event. It happens once you believe and then you confess, you are justified and you have eternal life. Integrity is not like that. It is like the Christian faith. It is a process that hopefully grows in you and then it multiplies. And then others will see it in you. People who see you will see that there's integrity in this man. So if you want to become a person of integrity, or you want to grow to be like Christ as he has called you to be, then this psalm is perfect for you, as we are going to learn from tonight. So that is, like I said, the great starting point. Because he said, we are blessed if we fear or revere the Lord. If we worship him, and if we delight in his commands, his word. And we know we don't, as a fallen creature, we don't like rules. We don't like to listen to anyone. But if we can carefully delight in the word of God, in the commands of God, by being obedient to him, then we will grow in integrity. So that is what we are going to learn tonight from Psalm 119. So let's take a closer look at what this psalm is saying. It says, blessed are those whose way is, their ways are blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. In some ways, this verse is similar to what we just read in Psalm 112. It said, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 112. It's almost the same as what we are reading in Psalm 119. He said the person is blessed when they choose to be blameless, to have a blameless way of life, or walking with the Lord. And we know that in our world today, people will tell you that this is not the right approach to life. They think that the Christian life is boring. They think the life of the Christian is gloomy and depressing, but there's no happiness in the Christian life. Well, they say that you can't gamble, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't dance. So they think that you have no fun, and therefore you can never be happy in this world. The only thing you can do, as people think about Christians, is the thing that we just judge others, we just go to church and listen to some boring music, and then that's all. That's how life is. No. The psalmist is telling us that the person who chooses to follow the ways of God, who tries not to sin, who tries to be blameless, is going to be blessed. And we'll see the kind of blessing that he's talking about as we go on. Like I said, the word blessed is not the usual Hebrew word that we all know. Here, the word blessed means that you are super happy. If you take this kind of life, you are super happy. It means that you are feeling the overflow of joy in your heart and in your spirit. So you are blessed. This is the kind of blessing that this psalmist is talking about. But like I said, the world, we tend to base our happiness on what is happening around us. They think good happiness, and then we are happy. So people equate happiness with our personal pleasure and comfort. There's no happiness in that. Is it drinking? Is it gambling? Is it dancing? Whatever it is not, never happiness. It is rather depressing. You see those who drink alcohol, the next morning when you see them, before they will seem to be happy, running up and down, but look at them again the next morning. So there's no happiness in that. True happiness, true blessedness, is in you having a relationship with God, your Creator. So being happy comes only from the Lord. That's where you have overflowing joy. Because to have that kind of joy, without holiness, without the Holy Spirit, and without salvation through Christ, can never be true. It's impossible to be happy, to be blessed in this life without holiness, without salvation, without the Holy Spirit in your life. You can never be happy. It is true. So this is what the verse takes us to. Now it takes us to the root of faith, belief, and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's where it starts from. Without that, you can never say you are happy. You can never live in this world, as we are learning even from Sunday school this morning about the rich fool. If you think that you have things in this world so you are happy, it is never true. Because in that account, in the night, God told him, I'm taking your life from you tonight. And who will come and spend all those things? It's a lesson that we have to take it serious. So now from verse 1, he says, undefiled. He talks about the people who are undefiled in their walk with God, in this pilgrimage, the people who are undefiled. He's laying out the necessities for people who want to go to heaven. This is what he's talking about. Undefiled in their pilgrimage, in verse 1, in verse 2, they keep his testimonies, those who keep the testimonies of God. In verse 3, they do no iniquity, people who do no iniquity. In verse 3b, they walk in his ways. They walk in his ways. And then in verse 4, they diligently keep his precepts. They keep it diligently. His precepts, his laws, his commandments, his word, they are all the same thing. Then in verse 7a, they praise God with uprightness in their heart. They praise God with uprightness in their heart. In 7b, they learn his righteous judgment. And then in verse 9, they take heed to his word. Verse 10, they seek him continuously. And then verse 11, they hide his word in their heart. These are the necessities for people who want to go with heaven, people who want to walk with the Lord in heaven. This is what the psalmist is saying. And these necessities remain the same in our day. If you want to walk with the Lord, if you want to be a person who will go to heaven, these are the things that you must crave for. These are the things you must pray for, that God helps you to be able to do them. It is righteousness, that is doing what is right in God's sight all the time. Not subjecting to the ideas and the philosophies of this world, but you are looking up to God. Those who desire to walk with God must be undefiled, consistently coming to the Lord and trusting in Him, putting their hope in Him, and seeking to please God. That whatever they do, they ask themselves, would this please God? This is what the psalmist is talking about. There's more to it that we are going to learn as we go on. So, to live a life of integrity is to live a life that is whole and undivided. A life that is wholly dedicated to God, not divided. It is to live in such a way that what you see is what you get. The person of integrity lives in life in which there is no path that there's a path that contradicts his whole. If you are whole, you are whole. You can't be whole, and then you also can be part. That your life contradicts what you say as a Christian. That's what he's talking about. So integrity for the Christian has to do with the entire body, soul, and being devoted to God. And that is what Psalm 119 from verse 1 to 8, it gives us more direction on achieving such an integrity. As I said, you must be whole. And when he says whole, it's like in the world of numbers, even in numbers, when we say something is an integer, integer means whole. For example, when we say 4, the number 4, it's an integer. It's whole. 4.25 or 4.25 is not whole. So when you're talking about whole, it's like your whole body, your mind and soul dedicated to the Lord. And in fact, this word integer comes from the English word integrity. And that's where the root is from, where they had this word integrity, undefiled, whole and undivided. That is what it means. So there's no hidden fraction, nothing in you that contradicts the whole. You must be whole, wholly dedicated to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that is what he's saying. We have to have a Christ-like kind of life as we await the return of God. We have to be wholly dedicated to the Lord. And that is our goal. A Christ-like life. Wholeness of devotion in body and mind. Everything. As I said earlier on, Christ was a man of integrity. And there are so many places in the Bible that talks about the integrity of Christ. In Luke chapter 23, verse 4, after Pontius Pilate had examined Christ, he exclaimed, he said, "I find no fault in this man." So he talked about the integrity of Christ. He said, "I find no fault with this man." In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and also 17, verse 5, at the baptism of Christ, and again at the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw that Christ, God himself said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was a man of integrity, wholly devoted to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul said the same thing of Christ. He said, "One who knew no sin." He knew no sin. Man of integrity. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter wrote the same thing. He said, "A lamb without blemish and without spot." He described Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that should be our goal. That should be our destiny as Christians. And like I said, this cannot be attained just all of a sudden. It is a gradual process, like sanctification. But we must desire it. We must desire to be people of integrity and pray for it. So we have to be completely like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, it should be our desire and our determination. But how do we do this? How do we attain this? To be a people of integrity. And this is what Psalm 119 from verse 1 to 11 is telling us. So let's look at them carefully one by one. Here in Psalm 119, you see that he emphasizes, there's more emphasis on the word of God, applying the word of God in your life. So for the Christian who requires a relationship with God, the word of God must be your delight for you to have a relationship with God. And then in prayer, he mentioned these two things. If you read Psalm 119 from the whole 117 verses, you see how many times he mentions prayer, and he also mentions the word of God as a means of attaining this kind of integrity that we are talking about. And like I said, it's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. But like I said, he references the word of God in almost every verse. in almost every verse, he makes reference to the word of God. The only exception, depending on how you interpret this verse, verses 84, 90, 121, 122, and 132. Apart from this, in all the other verses, he makes reference and emphasizes on the word of God. But this is also, like I said, a psalm that emphasizes on prayer. These two things. And in every verse of the 176, except 1 to 3, he prays directly to God. The psalmist prays to God. So this is a prayer about living for God, how he wants to live for God. It is a life-transforming psalm. You see, the psalmist wanted to know God, and to know God, that gave him the desire to go down on his knees and pray. The desire to know God then drew him onto his knees to pray. You have to pray the word of God and prayer. That is what we are talking about now. So loving and knowing God's word can even in this world save your life in so many areas. I'm saying this because of a story that was told by Spurgeon. A story of how one man, one Scottish reformer, he said he's called George Wisher. So if you read about him, you see this story. He was sentenced to death by hanging. You know, in those days, what they were doing to the Puritans, to the reformers, this man was sentenced to death by hanging. And according to the tradition, at the time when you are sentenced to death by hanging, at the time of your hanging, there's a time that you can receive pardon within that time of your being hanged. When your pardon arrives before you are hanged, then you'll be pardoned. And what they do is that they ask you to recite your favorite psalm or Bible verse before you are hanged. And this man requested Psalm 119 as a psalm that he wanted to read. And he did not even get to the text of the psalm, because remember, it's 176 verses. He did not get there when his pardon arrived. You see? So because this man chose to recite the psalm, his pardon arrived at that same time, and he was free. He was released from the pole, otherwise he was going to be hanged. So this illustrates the point that God, the word of God, saves us, and it also sanctifies us. And I trust that as we get it through this time the Lord will build into our lives a holy life that will learn a lot from here. Right from the beginning, the psalm talks about integrity and prosperity. He links prosperity with integrity. He begins with our relationship with God. He said integrity and prosperity. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimony. Verses 1 to 2. So he pronounces a blessing upon the undefiled. Those who are undefiled have a blessing from God. And here the word speaks of being perfect, complete, entire, as I've said, whole or upright. It means to be free from blemish. And as I've said, this word was used to express perfection or blameless life. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we know that Noah was described as a perfect man in his generation. And then when we come to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, the Passover lamb was also to be without blemish. The lamb that they used was a lamb without blemish. So, and when we come to Leviticus, about more than 24 times or so, this word is used. Blemish. Perfect. Without any uncleanness. So, as I said, blessing speaks of happiness. The blameless are blessed. The happy are holy. That's why we say happiness is only in heaven. But happiness can be not in this world, but in the people of this world, the people who have given their lives to Christ, those who are blessed to receive salvation, they can have internal happiness, happiness in the heart, because of their relationship with God. In Joshua chapter 18, verse 9, we are told that those who know the will of God and do it shall prosper. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you see, then he goes on to say, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whosoever thou goest. You see the blessing that comes if you dedicate your life, the whole life devoted to God. So the only people who get this are those who give their life and follow God in all, yeah, and those who want to attain the goal of integrity. You know, the next thing he talks about is integrity and priority. He talks about, he links integrity with priority. In verse 2b, he says, those who seek him with their whole heart. He says, so it calls attention to the priority of the one who walks with integrity, those who seek him with their whole heart. Then he said that those who give, such people, they are undivided, they give their undivided devotion to God. And then that drives their undivided attention to the word of God, and then in turn lead them to pray that they can be able to attain this. So those who walk with God with integrity have undivided devotion to God, as Christ said in James chapter 6, verse 7, Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. You see, that must be your aim, your relationship with God. That is why I said the whole thing begins with salvation. Without holiness, without salvation, without the Holy Spirit, there can never be integrity, there can never be happiness, there can never be blessing. Because in contrast, Jonah verse 2 says that they that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. Those who observe lying vanity. In other words, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And those who seek the kingdom of God are given, they are driven to they are driven to their knees, and they pray to God, and God answers them all their prayers. So those who have the integrity of God as their priority are the ones who will be blessed. The next thing we talk about is integrity and purity. We talk about integrity and then purity. He highlights the relationship between integrity and purity. He said, they also do know iniquity. They walk in his way. They do know iniquity, but they walk in the ways of God. They don't walk to perverse injustice. They walk in his way. They don't do wrong to others. Those who love God's word and who learn God's word and who pray to obey God's word, they grow in their relationship with God. That's the point that he's saying here. And that overflows into a better relationship with others. Remember, the greatest commandment is to love your God with your whole heart and your mind and then your strength. And the second thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the one flows from the other. When you love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, you will love your neighbor as well. So it follows. So true social justice can never be separated from justification. See, as I was saying in the morning, there's another man, William Wilberforce. He was also a slave trader. And when he also became a Christian and he learned about sanctification, about justification, he realized that trade, and he led human side for this slave trade to end. So we learned that he also loved Psalm 119, this Wilberforce. And we said even when he's going to Parliament, he'll be reciting this psalm. Let's also see another one. He's talking about integrity and authority. Integrity, he links it with authority. In verse 4 to 6, you see, he draws attention to the relationship between integrity and authority. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. So you see, he's talking about integrity and authority. So salvation and sanctification, and they are all authority issues. And when he says diligently, here he means quickly or speedily. See, the God's precepts that are his mandates and his statutes, his decrees, his commandments, they are all the same thing. And he's talking about everyone who wants to really work with God must be a person who subdues himself under authority. Otherwise, you can never please God. You must have integrity, and the integrity must make you to submit to authority. Either authority in your home, authority in your office, authority in your church, authority to the Almighty Himself. You must submit to Him. And integrity links with authority. He also talks about integrity and loyalty. In verse 7, he said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. So he's talking about loyalty. He will be loyal to his creator. He will keep it. Notice what he said, I will. You see, he said, I will. He had a righteous resolve. He has resolved to be loyal to God. It's his heart, his desire to be loyal to God. So he said, I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteousness. I will keep thy statutes. He desires to do that, and he prays for God to help him to be loyal to him. So when you surrender, it leads to your security. When you surrender your life to Christ, you are under the most heaviest security on earth. So if you are loyal to God, you surrender to him, and then you will be under his security. And so God's word and prayer, they are designed to this end. Like I said, the word of God and prayer are the one that will make you achieve this integrity and loyalty and all the other ones that we have mentioned above. So how is your love for God? It is the God who knows the way you should go. Follow him and experience true blessedness and prosperity. How are we? Do we love God? Do we remember what he has done for us? Where he has brought us from? Do we also reciprocate that same love that he had for us when we knew we were sinners, when we did not know him? He loved us by sending Christ to come and die for us. Are we also giving that same love to him? And then if you are going to have that love, then you must be loyal to him. God wants us to be loyal. Loyalty is the key here. Then integrity also links with humility. In verse 8b, he says, oh, forsake me not utterly. In verse 8b, he realized how short he falls. He knows that he falls short. So he prays for mercy, for grace to help him in the time of need. That he said, he should not forsake me utterly. And here, this, as much as he loved God and as much as he wanted to please God, he knew that he needed grace to be able to do this. And he made the same thing in the last verse of the Psalm, Psalm 176. He made the same thing there, that God should say, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. So here he's talking about his own shortfall and how he needs the grace of God, the mercy of God, to be able to serve him as he would. So he wanted to keep the statutes of God. So like he's saying to God, I'm doing my best to follow your laws, but Lord, I am a sinner and I need your grace, your grace and your mercy, especially when I mess up on my way. That's what he's telling God, that he really, really wants to follow him, but because he's a sinner, he fears that along the way he might mess up, and when he messes up, he's praying that God should have mercy on him. So he's putting all his trust in him and then praying that God will help him. So like I said earlier on from the beginning, the word of God and prayer, is what will give you integrity. And integrity is something that God, Christ, requires of every believer. Even in this world, in our workplaces, wherever we are, integrity plays a major part. If you really, really fear God, and not only in your church, even in your workplace, you let integrity guide you to lead you to places. And when he has prayed like this, what is God's response to him? The response is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you want to have integrity, if you want to work with me, if you want me to be your God and to guide you and protect you, I'm telling you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But keep my word in your heart. Let my word be with you. As Joshua was saying, they should not depart from this word day and night and continue to pray. And then they will have this integrity. And they will be God's children, and God also be their God. God understands more than we even understand ourselves in the journey of integrity. He knows. He knows what we are made of. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our shortfalls. You know, we were sinful, we were selfish, we were rebellious towards him before our salvation. And then we turned to him in repentance, and he forgave us. He has done the major one. It's led to the virtues, the sanctification. The major one is our salvation. He has done it. Why would he not do this to us if we pray to him? If we really sincerely desire to do that and pray to him, he will give us. But like I said, we know that there will be times of frustration, there will be times of disappointment, there will be times when you don't even understand your own actions, times when you don't even understand why God doesn't just change things in your life. Sometimes you pray to God for one thing for years and he's not answering. You can be frustrated, you can be disappointed. And God knows all these things. There will be times when you ask God why his plan is different than yours, which is also a folly. Why should you even think about that as a fallen creature? But we do think about that when we think that why is God not doing this in this way? And there will be many, many times when you say, God, I am still learning. Please don't give up on me. That's what we must pray. We should pray to God that our desire is to be a people of integrity. And on our way to that place, we know there are so many frustrations. But we are praying that he continues to guide us. And he has said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Say he would never. So don't ever give up on yourself. Instead, we need to do what the author of Hebrews 4:16 said. What did he say? He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in times of need, along this line, on our way to integrity, any situation that we get into that is beyond us, what do? We come boldly to the throne of grace. He's ready to hear us. That's why he was emphasizing on the word of God and prayer. Pray to God, and he will make a way for you. So as we come to conclusion, let's remind ourselves what we have learned so far. We have learned that meditating upon the word of God leads us to prayer. When you are meditating upon the word of God, it leads you to pray. And then being with God in the mind drives us to our knees. Being with him in your mind drives to that. That is why sometimes, even if you haven't prayed for some time, the moment you start thinking about God, or reading your Bible, or listening to something about God, it leads you to prayer. You go to him. That is why they let your mind be filled with his word, and it will lead you to prayer. And he has promised to also hear you. So this kind of integrity we are talking about has nothing to do with self-righteousness. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ and the gospel, as I've said. This is where it starts. The word of God is able to bring you to the end of yourself, and therefore to bring you to God. See 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It talks about this. We can't spend it because of our time. So, in conclusion, the word of God produces humility. Then the humility drives us to our knees, bringing us closer to our Savior. And then, increasingly, our
will become blameless. The result will be we being blameless. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, he put it this way. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." See, 1 John concludes the whole matter that everyone who has this hope in him, the hope that he has mentioned above, the person will purify himself just as Christ is also pure. Like I said, our destiny is to be like Christ, a man of integrity, and he requires us to be a man of integrity. As I'll give you another example, another story about a man that I read about, as I was talking about integrity in our workplace. There's a man who was called John McKay, and this man was a son of a very high-ranking army officer in America. He was in the Navy. And this man, he went to the war, and he was arrested by enemies, and they broke his hands and his legs, and they threw him into a cell. They never gave him any proper treatment. Then later on, they found out that he is the son of this high-ranking officer. So then they told him that they will release him, but on condition that when he goes, he will tell the people that he was well treated in the prison. And the man said, "No, he can't do that. He can't say what he has not seen. He will say it exactly as it is." And because he said this, he was kept in for another 5 years. Just saying he was treated well, and then he will go free. And he said he can't say that, so he was in for another 5 years. But the story goes on to say that this man, when he was released after the 5 years, he became a very outstanding member of parliament in America because of his integrity. So integrity, even like I said, apart from between you and God, even in your workplace, if you have this integrity in your life, it can take you to places. So how do we end it? The antidote to this being corrupted by the world is or overcoming sin day by day. And how do we achieve it? By applying what we call the means of grace. What are the means of grace? Fill our minds with the word of God. Pray diligently and fervently. Preach the gospel. Reading of the word of God. Praying, preaching the word of God. And if you do this, gradually, you will be able to do away with all the sins in you and be a man of integrity. So that is our lesson for tonight. And we pray that the Lord himself will be with us and help us to be able to be a people of integrity for the Lord.